know, a roof on your head. When you talk about the goodness, looking here, and all I see is the reaction of my intelligence angrily towards the situation because of my unsuccessful activity. Something like that. So, do not change that label. Believe that there is that state of mind for a human being to be holy. If you're wholesome, if you are not looking at the moment only, today, this month, think about your entire life, think about the span of the spirituality. And do not give up on your horse. You're riding the horse, but you could look like this silly fellow looking around and say, somebody stole my horse. Somebody cheated me. Somebody did this, somebody did that. He said, it's not like that. You will be always confused because you will see, no matter what, with a label, with a color, and you cannot see without the light. And light and color are two different. He started to talk about the light and said, there is light. There is the sun. There is another light in enlightenment. Again, the light which gives light to the heart is the light of God, which is pure and separate from the light of intellect and sense. See how clearly he's talking about the difference between intellectual thinking and the light which is in the heart. God is keeping his light in his house. Remember, he has a private house in me that the clever, intelligent Satan cannot go in. That's the only place the Satan cannot go in. The only place that could not be judged or understood by intellect is the heart. Where is it? It's in me. Where in me? Nowhere in me. Because it's like that. He talked about it and said, listen. Again, this light, this is different. The other light is night and day, is black and white. And because there is blackness and darkness of the night, you understand the light of the day. If there wasn't it difficult to understand what the light of the daytime is? If the light, that's why you don't understand your heart. Because your heart is always lit. That light is always, that candle is burning eternally in you. But you don't see it. Why? Because you judge. And what is the first judgment of you? Sorrow and pain. These are the first thing. Either you pretend you're in pain, or really you're afraid of pain, or you have done something wrong, you're deeply in pain. You could say the same about the sorrow. So you feel miserable. And that misery could go on forever. Except you break it down and you understand. What is the pain? Could you tell me what the pain is? Scientifically, if you want to say pain is when a part of a biological machine is under stress, this is pain. Was it correct? That's the pain, right? But I have never heard you really talking about the pain in your ear. You don't feel it either. When you're walking, you're knocking that heel down. In every step, with the force of gravity, means you weigh. But you don't interpret that as pain. When you go and exercise, you put different muscles in a stress. If you're climbing a mountain, all of it is in a stress. How come that at the top you're joyful? What is that? It's a matter of interpretation. The pain is the other side of one coin. The other one is rest, is comfort. Sorrow, if there is no sorrow, there is no happiness. Sorrow and happiness are both sides of one coin. And this coin I emphasize and I repeat and repeat. And I don't feel that bit of guilt because somebody else gave me a try. And I started to be grateful for that after the age of 40. And I understood what I got. Everything in this universe exists like a coin, has two sides. Are you here to change that? Do you think you could change that? That's what it is. Pain and pleasure are intertwined. Sorrow and happiness are intertwined. This is the algebra of existence. If you understand it, then with a simple flip, you will turn all the sorrows to happiness. Just with a flip. Like you are, for dying out of the accumulated anger. Just flip it. A simple forgiveness will save you. Not that fellow who is the subject of the anger. Is it you? Somebody said, let me tell you something. This paragraph is lovely. He talks about, look at the paragraph. It started 1107, right? 1107-08, the hermit made much delay in going. And look at the paragraph. He's talking about the rabbit. Where? Two verses only, right? First and the second verse talks about the rabbit. From the third one is that, let me talk about this intelligence. This intelligence is so vast. And before that, he told us that there are two different intelligence. There is one apple, which is apple juice, the simple one. We talked about, and there is another kind of it that will come later to talk about that one. But here, first of all, he said, this apple, this intelligence, look at it. Oh, how many universes, worlds are there. And look at the vastness of this stuff. Then we talked about we in here and this intelligence and reason is hidden, but the world is quite visible. Potentiality of this. And then it came to that horse that you're riding on, but you always deny that horse. You believe that you're riding with your intelligence. Then he talked about the spirit. Next page, he talked about the how you see this universe, how your vision is, the light, the importance of light, and that light of light, light of the eye, then light of the light of the light, which is the light of the God, and understanding the difference between this and that. Then verse 11:30, we talked about the pain and the sorrow were created for you to understand the opposite of them. Therefore, every hidden thing should be looked at the opposite. Conclusion? So, okay, now we understand your sickness. You will understand something with the opposite. Let me tell you this, the light of God has no opposite. The things that we are talking here, they have no opposite. Remember the first or second session, I should have talked about this. That I will fool someone and look around to see who is ready to jump out and say, what's the opposite of love? Someone like him will say, hatred. Say, nonsense. Love has no opposite. Hatred? Hatred is opposite of like. There are so many people you don't love, do you hate them? Hatred has nothing to do with love. Because hatred could be controlled and could be provoked. I can provoke your hatred with one lie, right? Could I provoke your love? I wish I could. That would make me better than Marilyn. I would be the Grand Wizard if I could do that. Love has nothing to do with hatred, liking, needing, wanting, or whatever you count intelligent to be. Because it's out of intelligence. That's the light of God and has no opposite. Therefore, necessarily our eyes do not perceive Him. With this eye, you cannot see it. But does that mean that it's not reachable? No. Because know that the form springs from spirit as the lion from the jungle. Means form is a part of the essence. And you know that in book 2, we'll go through the form and essence and the relationship with them. Here, he brought it out to mention the thing that you're listening to. He said, the things that I'm telling you, it is coming from some way of thinking, from the thoughts. And do you know the ocean of that thought? That's what I suggested that you should look into. Looking to the ocean that the Rumi's words are coming out of. We know these words are written by Rumi, are said by Rumi. But what was he thinking? That's the source. If you understand how he sees the existence and how he thinks about this, then you have got yourself a virgin word, virgin thought. This is not a vision. This is written. This is transformed to the form understandable by intellect, intellectually made. He said, this is what it is. But if you hear something ugly, suddenly you feel that the ocean should be impure. Something is wrong there. When you hear something that moves your heart, you will understand that there is a good spirit behind you. Therefore, the spirituality and the spirit is out of sight. But it's ritual, you could understand it. From form, you could go to the essence. From the way of something happening, you could understand even ritual that happened. This speech, the form was born of the word and died again. And brought it waves to the ocean. Form comes out of the formlessness and returns to the formlessness. Something is in Rumi's mind, right? Okay. Rumi will transform these thoughts to these wordings, to these poems. There are people, by reading these poetry, will sense something in their mind and the same feeling and thought will be created here. If you connect it to the poet, the feeling of the poet should be provoked in you and come to life. You will give birth to it. It's not an exact feeling. It's impossible. If the poet is Spanish, you don't have that degree of compassion towards words. So your compassion is not exactly like a Spanish fellow, but still compassion, virgin, yours.